This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. Here are headlines from some of the stories we're following here today at NPR News. President-elect Obama has reportedly picked California Congresswoman Hilda Solis as his labor secretary. She is the daughter of Mexican and Nicaraguan immigrants. And riot police in Greece today clashed with stone-throwing protesters in Athens again. Just the latest outbreak of violence stemming from the police shooting of a teenager earlier this month. Details on those stories and, of course, much more coming up later today on All Things Considered. Tomorrow at Science Friday, Ira Flatow will be here. He'll talk with tech guru Tim O'Reilly about the year in social media and what comes next, plus confirmation of dark energy and a look at some of the most cited scientific research of the year. That's tomorrow's Talk of the Nation, Science Friday. Yesterday, the Joint Congressional Committee on Inaugural Ceremonies announced the lineup for January 20th. In addition to Barack Obama's inaugural address, there will be performances by Aretha Franklin, Itzhak Perlman, and Yo-Yo Ma, poetry read by Elizabeth Alexander, and an invocation by the Reverend Rick Warren. He's the pastor of Saddleback Church, the author of the best-selling book The Purpose-Driven Life, and, to some, a force for intolerance. Warren opposes abortion and gay marriage. In this past election, he worked for passage of Proposition 8, the California ballot initiative that amended that state's constitution to read, "Only marriage between a man and a woman is valid or recognized in California." At a news conference in Chicago this morning, a reporter asked the president-elect about the furious reaction from many progressives, gays, and lesbians who supported him. He responded by saying he remains a fierce advocate of gay rights.
We're not going to agree on every single issue, but what we have to do is to be able to create an atmosphere when we, where we can disagree without being disagreeable, and then focus on those things that we hold in common as Americans.
President-elect Obama at a news conference earlier today. What does this choice tell you about the next president's politics and priorities? Give us a call, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. You can join the conversation at our website. Go to npr.org, click on Talk of the Nation. Stephen Waldman is the editor-in-chief of BeliefNet and joins us now from our bureau in New York City. You can find a link to the piece he wrote in defense of Rick Warren at from the Huffington Post at our website at npr.org. Steve Waldman, nice to have you on Talk of the Nation today.
Thank you for having me.
And I guess we should begin, I've read that piece, by noting that you disagree with Rick Warren on a lot of social issues.
Yeah, I'm by no means defending what he said about gay marriage. And I should point out that the issue really in criticizing Warren is not his opposition to gay marriage, because Barack Obama also opposes gay marriage, we may forget. It's that in describing why he opposed gay marriage, Rick Warren, in an interview that he did with BeliefNet, basically equated gay marriage to marriage that was based on incest, so between siblings or between an older man and a child, or polygamy, which is a very insulting way of putting it, and it's understandable why gays or others would be very offended by that.
And it is, some people see it as a continuation. Of course, President Bush at his inaugurations had some speakers, evangelical preachers from the far right.
Well, that's what makes this such a bold move by Obama. Bush had Franklin Graham, a conservative evangelical, and the parallel thing for Obama to do, I guess, would have been to have a liberal preacher, and instead he has another conservative evangelical. So he's making a very different statement. Bush had someone who picked someone who agrees with him. Obama is picking someone who disagrees with him on a lot of things. It obviously fits his theme of wanting to work across party lines and with people he disagree with to achieve common goals. And I think it's an effort somewhat to depoliticize prayer, almost a spiritual bipartisanship.
He also mentioned at his news conference earlier today that Rick Warren had invited him to go speak at the Saddleback Church, where when he knew, Rick Warren knew, that Barack Obama did not agree with him on all of these issues, like abortion, like gay rights, and he felt it was appropriate then to invite him to speak at the inaugural.
Well, and Rick Warren got a lot of flack for inviting Obama back then. Maybe that on some level Obama actually feels grateful to Warren for doing that, because it gave Obama a certain amount of credibility at a key time. But I think beyond that, Warren, you know, may look like just another conservative evangelical from some perspectives, but he's a bit more interesting than that. I mean, for one thing, he's actually been arguing and criticizing his friends among evangelicals that they are too political and they're too focused on culture war issues. And secondly, he's been trying to get conservative evangelicals to care more about poverty. He's really been working that quite hard. And as you know, he made a zillion dollars approximately on The Purpose-Driven Life and decided to do what he calls a reverse tithe, meaning he's giving away 90% of it and keeping 10%. So the combination of his activism about poverty in Africa and this sense that he's really kind of walking the walk have given Warren a status that is a bit different from the other more political religious conservative leaders and puts him in a little bit of a different league.
Let's get some callers in on the conversation. 800-989-8255. Email us talk@npr.org. Let's talk with Adam. Adam with us from Buffalo, New York.
Hi. How's it going?
Very well. Go ahead, please.
Well, you know, during the during Obama's while he was running, and he said that he opposed gay marriage, it always felt to me like one of those things that, you know, a politician said because it was a necessity. I never felt like he truly truly opposed gay marriage. It was a stance he took because taking the opposite stance would mean not getting elected. And having something like this happen so early in the game just feel it's a real disappointment coming from somebody who, despite saying he opposed gay marriage, articulately spoke about his support of gay rights. And so giving a platform like this to somebody who has said very publicly such hateful things is a hard pill to swallow.
So you didn't quite believe him when he said he didn't believe in gay marriage before, and now you don't quite believe him when he says he is a fierce advocate for gay rights.
It's not that I don't believe that he's a fierce advocate of gay rights. I understand that you have to reach across, you know, these boundaries that everybody keeps talking about. But no, I never felt like saying that you supported gay marriage, I feel like would be giving saying you're willing, you know, you're losing the election by saying that. I think if you came out strongly in support of gay marriage, that you would have no chance of getting elected. And so I understand that there are issues like that that have to sort of, I don't know, I guess you have to give ground at least publicly on them.
Well, you can hear the disappointment in your voice, Adam.
Yeah. It's
all right. Adam, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. And Adam is hardly alone, Stephen Waldman.
Very true, and the reaction to this has been very angry and disappointed from many Obama supporters, particularly among gay rights advocates, but it's even broader than that. They feel like, you know, if he was talking this way, if Rick Warren had been talking this way about African Americans, would he really have been given this platform? And, you know, it's an understandable point of view. I ended up writing the piece in defense of Rick Warren or of the selection simply to say that if you know about Warren's role in the evangelical community and what else he's been doing and the broader context, I thought it was a defensible pick, and it certainly fits the Obama theme of reaching across party lines. You know, it's like what the caller said about gay marriage. A lot of people, he's been saying he wanted to reach across party lines, but he was talking about negotiating with dictators. He said, you know, you never lose anything by talking to people you disagree with. And I think people on some level didn't believe that either. You know, when he appointed Robert Gates as the defense secretary, there were some people who were thinking, oh, I guess he really means that stuff.
Let's get Mike on the line. Mike with us from Salem, Oregon.
Hi, thank you. Just two brief comments. I think I understand why Mr. Obama is doing this. He wants to reconcile and then have people reach towards the middle, and that's fine. But so far with his appointments, he's appointing people and he's asking the left or the progressive to reach to the right, and I'm looking for an appointment or a statement or something that'll ask the right to reach towards the middle, towards the left, and this appointment certainly doesn't do that. The other comment is, if he's looking for reconciliation and a more of a progressive approach towards our approach towards religion, there are much better ministers and religious people who could be giving this indication,
but,
other than Rick Warren.
But not those who invited him to speak at his very politically powerful church in California.
That may be the case, but, I mean, Obama's a very intelligent man. I mean, someone, I don't know this person personally, but, you know, the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church, Catherine Jefferts Shorey, she's very inclusive. That's what we're looking for here, I think, is inclusiveness. I guess Rick Warren has a history of beyond inclusiveness here. He talks the talk. I'm not really convinced that he is one who is really walking the walk. That's Pastor Warren, walking the walk of inclusiveness. If he's going to exclude a major part of our population, as has already been mentioned, that's not inclusiveness.
You mentioned this is an appointment, and of course it's an appointment to talk for about five minutes at a very important occasion. It's not like he's naming him secretary of anything, but nevertheless, it is symbolically important, but it's a personality. If policies change, for example, don't ask, don't tell, if he changes that, would that convince you otherwise, do you think?
Well, sure. That's what I'm saying. I think I'm looking forward, I'll put it that way, I'm looking forward to either appointments or changes in policy that will say to the people who are on the far right, let's just say, listen, folks, you're going to have to come our direction, too. I'm asking my progressive liberal supporters to come your direction, and now you need to come my direction. I'm all behind the idea of reconciliation and moving forward here, absolutely. But it's a two-way street, and this appointment is a pretty invitation certainly now begs the question of when he's going to make some sort of invitation or similar gesture for the right wing to come the other direction.
Mike, thanks very much for the call. Appreciate it. We're talking about the invocation speaker at the inaugural address, named yesterday as Rick Warren, the pastor at the Saddleback Church, and you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. Stephen Waldman is our guest, a co-editor, editor-in-chief and co-founder of BeliefNet. Let's go to Paul. Paul with us from Nashville.
Hey, thanks for taking the call. I'm right in agreement with David on this, because I think Rick Warren's come a long way, and not only has he helped to bring the church towards the idea of supporting the poor, but he's also the first evangelical to stand up and talk about how environmental legislation needs to be addressed as well. So, you know, it's a good move. The right-winged evangelicals aren't going away. They're a very strong political party, and he needs to include them, and this is the right move.
And Stephen Waldman, a lot of people have mentioned that this is a savvy political decision by the president-elect.
Well, I guess the proof's in the pudding. I thought it was going to be a savvy political move, because it seemed like a shrewd way of reinforcing this common ground message and reaching out to moderates. I mean, if it ends up, alienating a big part of his support base, maybe it won't seem quite so savvy. I do think, as one of the callers pointed out, part of this will depend on what he does substantively. Sometimes politicians will, you know, make a move, a symbolic move in one direction to make it politically more possible to do a substantive move in another direction. So if, you know, as you were saying, a couple months now, he repeals Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and was able to get a little bit more political support for it because he had put Rick Warren, reached out to Rick Warren, then that'll seem like a whole different picture.
Paul, thanks very much for the call.
You bet.
This from Kathy in Dennis, Massachusetts. My partner and I have been very strong supporters of Mr. Obama, but he just lost us. This choice is absolutely incomprehensible. Mr. Obama says he wants to bring people together, but you cannot be inclusive of hate and still be inclusive of the objects of their hate. This is not a man who is mildly discomforted and troubled by whether or not to have gay marriage or civil unions. This is a man who compared us to child molesters. And Stephen Waldman, as you suggested, that is not going to sit easily with some people.
Yeah, I think that's really the key statement. And, it's the one I would really love to get a couple more minutes with Rick Warren about, because I've heard this line before. I mean, I actually just saw Mike Huckabee make a similar comparison.
Yes.
And I almost get the sense they don't really understand the implications of what they're saying. They're making kind of a slippery slope argument of, oh, well, if we do this, then one thing will lead to another and the whole institution of marriage.
Right. If you're talking about consenting adults, it doesn't matter if they're both men or both women, then what's to prevent other states from saying, okay, plural marriage is okay, or incest is okay, or pedophilia?
Right, right. It's a kind of a slippery slope argument that's understandable, but I don't think they're being sensitive to what the moral implications of that comparison are. I actually asked Warren about it because of that confusion, and because he started by making the slippery slope argument, and I said, "So are you comparing those kinds of relationships with gay relationships?" And he said, "Yes." He definitely walked out on that plank himself.
And stepped right off, it sounds like. This email from John in Montgomery, Alabama. Being a black gay individual living in the South, I have no problem with Obama's choice of Warren. I, too, am against gay marriage because I know marriage is an institution of the church and the church speaks against it. Obama's choice shows that he realizes that compromise must be made, and Warren is representative of those on the far right who need to work with Obama if he's to be successful. And this from Alan in Victor, Idaho. Some people are now upset about who Mr. Obama has selected for his inaugural ceremony. Why can't people understand that Obama's is a voice for tolerance? Our greatest strength in this country is our diversity and tolerance. Thank you, Mr. Obama. It's so refreshing to get a break from all the single-issue ideology that has been killing this nation from within. Stephen Waldman, it doesn't sound like this debate is going to be quieted anytime soon.
No, and, you know, I think that the next turn of the wheel is going to be to see what Rick Warren actually says at his invocation. And there, the issue is a little bit different, which is that Franklin Graham caused a bit of a controversy when he did the invocation for George Bush by praying in the name of Jesus Christ, which was a departure. Usually the invocations are more broad than that. And I'm dying to know whether Obama and Warren reached any kind of an understanding as to whether or not he was going to do that.
Tune in. Thanks very much, Stephen Waldman.
Thank you for having me.
Steve Waldman, the editor-in-chief of BeliefNet, with us from our bureau in New York. You can find a link to his piece at our website, npr.org. Tomorrow, Ira Flatow here with Science Friday. I'll be back on Monday. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.